From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. A step back from the brink on the Korean Peninsula. Today, a special report that begins with this report from Press TV's Bardia Honardar.
The U.S. and South Korea say the prospect of an armed conflict on the Korean Peninsula has been largely diminished following a deal between the two Koreas. Seoul cites a number of signs of de-escalation, including the reappearance of North Korean submarine fleets on radars and the closure of gun ports on heavy weapons installations. South says it has readjusted its own defense posture. In return, the neighbors struck a deal on Tuesday to end an escalating crisis that had pushed them into the brink of war. Under the deal, Seoul agreed to stop blasting propaganda messages across the border, and Pyongyang expressed regret for a landmine incident that maimed two South Korean border guards. The Pentagon has also noted a relaxation in the North's military stance.
This was Kim Min-seok, a spokesperson for the South Korean Defense Ministry, describing the agreement between the two Koreas Tuesday.
Our military will keep its alert level at the highest until 12 noon Seoul time. As mentioned before, it will take time for the DPRK to redeploy their military forces, which were placed at the front line in accordance with its quasi-state of war. Therefore, we will lower our alert level and wind down our readiness posture step by step in accordance with the threat posed by the DPRK. Our military will maintain its military readiness and continuously be prepared for any further provocation by the DPRK.
Last week's apparent move towards open war between the two Koreas came at the exact moment that South Korea's military was in a massive military exercise with U.S. forces. But to the extent that the unfolding crisis was covered at all in the U.S., this was the general tone of the coverage.
On 10th of August, if South Korea does not respond to our ultimatum, our military counteraction will be inevitable, and that counteraction will be very strong.
That was An Myung-hun, the permanent representative of North Korea, speaking at a press conference at the United Nations in New York Friday. The crisis was positioned by Western media as a threat of war by North Korea if the South didn't stop propaganda broadcasts to the North. But the narrative in the U.S. and the Western media in general has lacked the context of the present situation on the Korean Peninsula, and in particular, the view of events from Pyongyang.
Large-scale military exercise, which is called Ulji Freedom Guardian, involving tens of thousands of U.S. and South Korean military, is going on in South Korea with an open purpose to eliminate the headquarters of the DPRK and occupy Pyongyang.
North Korea, whose official name, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, is usually referred to as the DPRK, while South Korea, whose official name, the Republic of Korea, is usually referred to as the ROK. We'll bring you Friday's press conference by the DPRK's permanent representative, An Myung-hun, in its entirety later in this newscast. There has been some deeper coverage of the situation on the Korean Peninsula than that offered in the West elsewhere in the world. One such venue was the RT program Crosstalk, where host Peter Laveau Tuesday had among his guests Han S. Park, University Professor of Public and International Affairs and Founding Director of the Center for the Study of Global Issues at the University of Georgia. Dr. Park's areas of specialization include an emphasis on East Asian studies. Among his publications is North Korea, The Politics of Unconventional Wisdom and Human Needs and Political Development. He's been involved in a number of peacemaking initiatives with North Korea. Dr. Park echoed the view of the DPRK's UN ambassador regarding the U.S. military presence in South Korea.
We must not forget the fact that the Korean Peninsula has been in a state of war for the last 60 years. So with American troops there, 30,000 American uniforms troops there, 1 million each side of North and South Korea uniformed soldiers. So as long as that's the case, they're bound to be some disturbances hopefully military confrontations not, but these things are, will be there. So how can we convert the whole thing? We have to have a peace treaty replacing the armistice agreement. South Korea has become in recent years number one importer of American weapons. It's an important economic consideration. I think we should change the whole thing from security peace.
And we now bring you Friday's press conference by the DPRK's permanent representative, An Myung-hun, in its entirety.
Good afternoon. I think you are following the situations that are unfolding on the Korean Peninsula. I have requested to have this conference in order to provide the factual truth on the recent developments taking place on the Korean Peninsula. On 4th of August 2015, mine explosion of an unknown cause occurred in the vicinity of the South Korean military posts in the southern portion of the demilitarized zone of the military demarcation line. The name of the area is Bangmongni, Gunnae-myun, Paju City, Gyeonggi Province of South Korea. Just right after the occurrence of explosion, the South Korean military announced that plastic anti-personnel mine called M14, which was laid in the vicinity of the military post in the southern portion of the demilitarized zone, had gone off due to strong torrential rain. However, on 10th of August, spokesman of South Korean Defense Ministry appeared at a press conference and asserted that the mine explosion occurred because of the reason that North illegally crossed the military demarcation line and deliberately laid wooden box mine. South Korea cited as one evidence that in wooden box mine there is a strong smells of resin, and therefore the wooden box mine was recently laid by the North. It is absolutely false logics. Since the mine was exploded, if there is any smell, there would be only a smell of gunpowder. And there is another no-surprise mistake that at first South Korea said it is plastic anti-personnel mine, and then after a few days it said it is wooden box mine. South Korea also insisted that three fresh springs found in the mine after explosion are also from the North. It never stands to reason to argue that the springs of the mine strongly exploded are fresh. In the demilitarized zone of the military demarcation line, there are many instances of mines being exploded due to natural force such as torrential rain or fire. And there are various kinds of mines brought into from different countries. So-called mine explosion is provocative prefabrication plot conceived in advance by South Korea for the sake of pursuing another purpose. It was clearly evidenced by the fact that soon after the occurrence of so-called mine explosion, South Korea abruptly announced to resume psychological warfare broadcasting against the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. It is really a bad habit of the South Korea to groundlessly link whatever events occur in South Korea with the DPRK. They seek sinister purposes whenever they orchestrate ridiculous plots. Because by taking advantage of this case, the South Korea and the United States heightened the intensity of Ulji Freedom Guardian joint military exercises, which started from 17th of August by introducing strategic bomber B-2A and stealth fighter F-22A into South Korea. And again on 20th of August, South Korean military made another intolerable provocation against the DPRK. The South Korean military fired 36 shells at the civil police posts of the Korean People's Army under the groundless pretext that Korean People's Army fired one shell at the southern side. The gravity of the issue is that the South Korean military did not hesitate to launch such military provocative action without trying to confirm where a shell allegedly fired from the north came from, where it fell in its side, whether it is a gun shell or a bullet or a rocket or what. As is shown above, the South Korea resumed the broadcasting for anti-DPRK psychological warfare in all areas of the front of the military demarcation line under the pretext of a doubtful mine explosion. And this broadcasting goes on day and night. In this regard, the General Staff of the Korean People's Army sent an ultimatum at 17 o'clock on 20th of August to the South Korean military that if a strong military counteraction would be launched unless it stops the anti-DPRK broadcasting for psychological warfare and removes all broadcasting means within 48 hours. Nevertheless, thereafter, the South Korean military invented a case of shell fired by the North, and under that pretext, fired dozens of shells on the DPRK's territory without any scientific grounds. Now the situation on the Korean Peninsula inches close to the brink of a war due to the continued anti-DPRK political and military provocations by the United States and South Korean military force. Psychological warfare against the DPRK is, in essence, an open act of war against it, and vicious political and military provocations designed to destroy the ideas and system and all domains of the life of the DPRK and its people. Under the prevailing grave situation, an emergency enlarged meeting of the Central Military Commission of the Workers' Party of Korea was convened at night on 20th of August. The meeting was presided over by Marshal Kim Jong-un, First Secretary of the Workers' Party of Korea and Chairman of the Central Military Commission of the Workers' Party of Korea. At emergency enlarged meeting of the Central Military Commission of the Workers' Party of Korea, Marshal Kim Jong-un issued an order of the Supreme Commander of the Korean People's Army that the frontline large combined units of the Korean People's Army should enter a wartime state to be fully battle ready, and the area along the front be put in a semi-war state from 17 o'clock on Friday, 21st of August. On orders of the Supreme Command Marshal Kim Jong-un, all the Korean People's Army frontline large combined units immediately entered into a wartime state at once, fully armed to launch any surprise operations, and finished their preparations for action. The enemy's provocation bases and the anti-TPRK propaganda bases and means for psychological war are now within the sight of the Korean People's Army's multiple rocket launchers and tactical and strategic rocket forces. The grave situations now on the Korean Peninsula have been created by South Korea at the start of the South Korean military on the basis of prefabricated provocation plots. Large-scale military exercise, which is called Ulji Freedom Guardian, involving tens of thousands of U.S. and South Korean military, is going on in South Korea with an open purpose to eliminate the headquarters of the TPRK and occupy Pyongyang, the capital of the TPRK. If South Korea does not respond to our ultimatum, our military counteraction will be inevitable, and that counteraction will be very strong. This is the briefing on the recent developments that is taking place on the Korean Peninsula, for your reference. And I would like to add one more, that only this afternoon we have requested through the President of the Security Council to take up this issue, all these issues, immediately at the meeting of the Security Council, just for your information purposes. Thank you. I will take some questions.
Sure. Thanks a lot. Matthew Lee, Inner City Press, on behalf of the Free UN Coalition for Access. Thanks for the briefing. I guess I wanted to know, there was news today of the U.S. temporarily suspending its participation in the exercises and then resuming them. And I wanted to know if you've heard of that and what you think of it, and also if you've had any response from any Security Council members. I think it seems like if one member even takes up the request, you can get a meeting. Who are you working on, and do you think how quickly do you think such a meeting could be established?
For the sake of your convenience, I think it's better that I will take relevant all questions and then I will respond after that.
Ambassador, thank you. Manasang Wanyun with Bloomberg News. On behalf of the UN Correspondents Association, thank you for this briefing. My question is, in 2013, I think it's March, your government declared a state of war with South Korea in response to what your government called, you know, reckless provocative acts by the United States and South Korea. And like you said in your introductory remarks, those provocations include military exercises and et cetera. Since then, U.S. and South Korea have continued to carry out those annual drills as they're going on now. So my question is, how is your government declaring over the past 2 days that the peninsula is at a brink of war? How is that different, and how will that help you achieve your demands, an end to what you call reckless provocations by the U.S. and South Korea? Thank you.
Yes, Rhonda Halbin, Tats.de, the Tiger Zeitung, and my question is twofold. One, I wondered if you heard any response from the president of the Security Council to your answer, to your request, and also you had made the request prior about the drills that there be a meeting. And then the second part of my question is that you essentially what you're asking is that the loudspeakers be stopped. Is that's the particular request you've stated at this point? And then the other piece is that this the whole issue of a contested how what happened with that landmine be open to be not that you not be accused of something with no ability to respond and then punished for it. Is that essentially what the request is besides all the military action of the U.S. and South Korea and finding a way to end those that set of what you feel are provocations? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Edith Lederer from the Associated Press. You just said that if there is not a response by South Korea to your ultimatum, the DPRK's response will be very strong. Could you tell us more specifically what does very strong mean? Does that mean military action by the DPRK against South Korea, or does it involve some type of perhaps psychological warfare on the part of your government?
Yeah, Joseph Klein, Canada Free Press. You indicated that you're requesting that the Security Council hold an urgent meeting in response to this latest crisis. And in the past, Your country has indicated that it did not feel bound by resolutions of the Security Council. I'm wondering whether the latest Security Council resolution reinforcing vis-a-vis Iran, the arms embargo and missile embargo, in light of that, does North Korea intend to abide by that resolution in connection with its relationship with Iran? Thank you.
Thank you. Olga Denisova, RIA Novosti, Russian News Agency Ambassador. According to what you've just said, is DPRK still ready for peaceful talks with South Korea?
I think we have had enough questions. I think most of the questions are already covered in my briefing. I will clarify again our positions on the recent developments that are taking place on the Korean Peninsula. I would like to underline first the point that all the developments that are taking place now on the Korean Peninsula, against the background of the large-scale military exercises called Ulchi Freedom Guardian, uh, are made or made and are the ones which were prefabricated by the South Korean authorities, by the South Korean government, and by South Korean military. As I explained, this mine explosion of an unknown cause, which South Korean military said as action by my country, by my military, is purely a fabrication. And I explained already the original grounds, why it was false, why it was fabricated. The problem is that on the basis of that groundless pretext, they immediately resumed the broadcasting for anti-TPRK psychological warfare in all areas of the front of the military demarcation line. And this is an act of open war, open political and military provocations against the TPRK, designed to destroy all the domains of life of our people. Because of the gravity of this problem, the General Staff of the Korean People's Army sent an ultimatum, as I told, at 17 o'clock on 20th of August to the South Korean military, that if South Korea does not stop this anti-TPRK broadcasting and remove all broadcasting means within 48 hours, the strong military counteraction would be launched. Even after this ultimatum, South Korean military again fabricated so-called a shell fired from the north. This again, prefabricated provocation act. We didn't shoot anything, any shell, any bullet. And even there was no accidental shooting at the time around that area. This is purely a fabricated provocation from South Korean government and from South Korean military. If South Korea really does not respond to our ultimatum, then we will respond. There will be a strong military counteraction. And I would say that our military will not make any empty talks. Thank you very much for your attention.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.